We're going to be in Mark chapter 5 tonight. Mark 5, going to the Gospels. We haven't been in the Gospels in a while. Mark chapter 5. And I like the book of Mark. Mark kind of condenses the Gospel. It brings it in real level for us. And I appreciate, really enjoy reading through the Gospel of Mark. And appreciate the Word of God and just how He makes it so simple to understand. But Mark chapter 5 tonight, and I have a message entitled, What a Difference That Jesus Makes. And you know that, you folks here that are saved, you know Jesus makes all the difference in our lives. And it's just such a wonderful thing. And our children, hopefully, very soon will realize, many of them, what a difference Jesus makes. Now notice Mark chapter 5, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Notice verse 6. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. He cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. He said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. He asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. And there were nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and heard them. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. We see here an account, just one account we'll cover tonight, of what a difference Jesus truly makes in the life of an individual. You know this story, I'm sure, but this man was possessed with many, many demons. And he was having a tough, tough time, to say the least. And nobody could bind him. No one could tame him. And just a little side note, with the government and the country gave up on him, didn't they? They tried to reform him. And the Bible doesn't speak, again, of reform, but it speaks of transform. And the world tries to reform man when he has a drug problem, or he has a demon problem, or he has some kind of mental problem. A lot of people today are labeled with schizophrenia that I believe personally are demon-possessed. Not all people are, I'm not saying that, but that a lot of people have mental diseases. I believe there's a spiritual disease going on there. But the world tried to reform this man and couldn't, had no luck with him. Had no real progress with this guy. They chained him with metal chains, and he broke them. The power and might of a demonic person and all of that. We think about this, and this is the state the man was in, and he was just miserable. Now, you think about, the world tries to push on us, and a lot of times on our little children, that being of the dark side is something exciting and fun, and it's a freeing, liberating thing. When in reality, we're going to read in a minute, this man was depressed, empty, lonely. He hated being who he was. He hated being out there with no clothes and possessed and had nothing, cutting himself, torturing himself. What was he trying to do? He was trying to kill himself. Get out of this torture. Get out of this mess. But we see Jesus come, and what a difference Jesus makes. Now, let me say this again, just to clarify, Jesus Christ is the deciding factor in all of life's problems. People say that can't be true. I don't believe that. Every problem we have, Jesus can be the deciding factor. He'll make the difference. Every problem. Anything you can think of. It's Jesus Christ that makes a difference. And He is the fork in the road for every human being. We must make a decision. Now, as we read through the Gospels, we notice that every time Jesus came to a place, that place and those people were changed. You notice that as you read through the Gospels again? Anywhere He goes, the places change. The dynamics change. The atmosphere and attitude changes whenever Jesus walks into a place. You may have known somebody like that. They walk into a building and, the atmosphere changes, maybe for the bad, Everyone goes, oh, they're here. Here we go again. They're going to say something rude or crude. I hope for us and Lord's prayer for us, obviously, would be we walk into a place and we would change the atmosphere of the place for the good and point people to Christ. The sick were healed. The blind gave sight. The lame made walk again. The deaf and dumb were again given hearing and speaking. Demons were cast out. Dead were raised to life again. And most important of all, souls were saved. Souls were saved. And we know that Jesus makes the difference. We need to get to know who this man is. Who is he? What really frustrates me and really challenges me, that man who disregards Jesus and says, I don't believe in Jesus, and that Jesus is not who he said he was. He's not the Son of God. He's not the Savior. He was just a good teacher. How come they can't stop talking about him? How come he's the one individual who's written more about than any other character in human history? Jesus Christ. Why is that? You don't believe in him, yet you can't stop talking about him, yet he bothers you. I like people that they disregard the Bible, they don't believe the Bible, they don't believe it's inspired, they don't believe it's God's Word, yet they can't stop talking about it. They can't stop. It bothers them. They can't understand it. It frustrates them. We need to come back to, there is a difference. It's in Jesus, we know. Outside of Jericho, a blind man named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, remember him? Sat by the side of the highway begging. Old Lester Roloff used to sing the song, right? There sat a man on the side begging. Then Jesus came, made all the difference. But you think about that he was there begging and he cries out to Jesus. You know the story. He says, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. He's acknowledging the person of Christ and being the Son of David. He is the true Messiah. He's the promised one that came. And when he does that, Jesus says he stopped, turned around, and his disciples did what? Hey, calm down, be quiet, leave us alone, basically. And Jesus said, no, what does he want? What does he need? And he talks to the man. You know that heals him. There's a widow of the city of Nain who's going to bury her only son. He was already in the casket. He had already had the cloth put over him. He was already going out. They already had the hole dug. They already had everything ready. And she had just buried her own husband. When Jesus came, he saw the procession and he said, weep not. And he touched that casket, touched the body, and went out there, raised again. This is the Jesus we serve. Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came asking. He said, Jesus, you have to heal my sick daughter. She's my daughter, only daughter, and she's sick, nigh unto death. And the Lord went. He went to the house. As he was going his way, the woman came behind him and touched his garment with her issue of blood. Jesus was a busy individual, wasn't he? He was going to heal somebody and somebody stopped him and said, hey, by the way, could you heal me? Her faith was rewarded. This young girl, as he got to the house, they literally, remember, they laughed him to scorn. They laughed and mocked at Jesus. Jesus said, don't weep. She'll be raised again. She'll be healed. And none of them had faith. They laughed at him. And we know the story. There's a tax collector named Zacchaeus, very sinful man, heard Jesus passing through, ran up in the sycamore tree, didn't he? And he wanted to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, he said, come on down, I'm going to your house today. Several people, we could go on and on, Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, all of those individuals that came, Jesus made a difference. Jesus stopped at a well one day of Samaria and he talked to a young lady and he told her all that ever she did, she went to tell the other men that. He told me everything I've ever done. Well, that's easy. Anyone could do that. No. She says, no. The private things, the secret things nobody else knows about. He told me about that. He told me when you come to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have to acknowledge your sin to Him. You hang your dirty laundry out to Jesus Christ, who already knows it all. But you say, Lord, you know all of that. I'm a sinner. I need your salvation. That's what she did. That's what he did. And we see this. Coming back to our text now, he comes and makes a difference in this. And I'd encourage you to read all of Mark chapter 5 because there's several individuals in this story, in this one chapter, that are changed by Jesus. But notice tonight what a difference Jesus makes. Let's look at, first of all, the lost man. The lost man. This man was, in our text, was one that had unclean spirit. He was cast out. He was a loner. But as soon as Jesus came, he was changed. We know Jesus had been teaching and he passed over the other side. It took him to the country of the Gadarenes. The devil had some idea of what might happen when Jesus got there. He literally tried to kill this individual, we know. But he also tried to kill Jesus and the disciples in the storm, if you recall. Tried to kill him. This was a futile attempt. We know that. Jesus had and took control of the situation. And anytime you and I go to do something for him, we're going to face opposition. We said this morning, you face the Red Sea crossing. And we have to be rejoicing with faith on the front side of it instead of the back side. But as soon as he came out, now in another count, we know there's two individuals here. In Mark, there's only one. And that's no discrepancy in the Bible. We know that. Just covering one account. But this one man comes and he meets Jesus and he asks him, what have I to do with you? Notice the dead man today, or the lost man. He's dead. He's dead. Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let me turn there. I want to read the whole text. Ephesians 2, but it talks about the dead man, the man being dead before salvation. We know. He says in chapter 2, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the adversary, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh. Our lifestyle was filled with lust, the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were, notice, by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. But God, I love that statement, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, in sins hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, talking about that, the man today that has not Christ, he dwells among the dead. He's dead. This man dwelt among the dead. He was playing around, living in and among the tombs, around the dead. Demon-possessed people, as you know, they love to be around dead things. They want to be around death and dead. Always has dead. You maybe knew kids in school that painted themselves faces usually dark colors and wore black all the time. Another thing, it was always to do with death. And we understand it's very, very careful and cautious about that. But he says, this man was dead. He's spiritually dead, Ephesians 2:1. He walks with the course of the world. He's dead. This is why when we share the gospel with unsaved people, don't get frustrated with it. We need to remember, as they reject the word and try and refute it and try and mock and make fun of it, we need to realize they're dead people, spiritually dead. They cannot acknowledge. They don't have the spirit within them. They don't know that. He follows the devil, Ephesians 2, verse 2. He lives in disobedience, verse 3. He has no desire to be with the living, 1 John 3 and verse 14 he described. No desire to be with the living. He had no desire. He was an outcast. They put him outside of the city. And they threw him out there because they could not tame him. They could not bind him. Back in Mark 5, notice he says now that he had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. Always night and day, verse 5, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This guy was miserable. What a difference Jesus makes. Secondly, he cannot be bound. He cannot be bound. We reminded in Scripture of what the law cannot do for man. We're constantly breaking the law. The law was not given to save us. What was it done? Given to us for? To show us we need a Savior, right? To show us we can't do it on our own. The law was given to each one of us, or to the Old Testament in particular, saints, to show them they could not do it. They needed a Savior. He breaks it with ease. Notice this. He could not be bound. The man today will break, if he tries to keep the law, will break the law. Jesus said, you have, who has kept the law perfectly? No one had. No one had. In the beginning, they were given just 10 commandments and they broke all of them, didn't they? They came and added to that somewhere around 644 extra commandments. Made it even worse. They broke all of those. That's where we are today. The dead man, number one, cannot be bound, I say. His flesh is weak. It can only really point out the sin, Romans 3, we know that. He cannot keep it, Romans 8. He cannot be made perfect by the law, Hebrews 7 and 10 describe for us. So he could not be bound, could not be bound. A free spirit. Man today pushes having freedom, liberty. Outside of God and outside of the Bible, you have liberty and freedom and excess and have pleasure and do whatever you want to do and have all the fun you want to have. Except they don't know that as they more deeper they get into sin, the tighter and tighter those chains are on their wrists and feet. Those fetters become tighter and tighter to where one day they decide, well, I've had all the pleasure I've had, now I'll just end it all. That sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? When you have Jesus Christ, you come to Him and submit your life to Him. As we see He does, He has freedom. No longer is He bound. No longer is He where He's not supposed to be. Let me say next that the dead man spiritually abuses his body. Verse 5, and always night and day in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Cutting himself. We know that. I won't go into detail with that, but the man abuses his body. Although the lost man may not cut his body, he often will abuse it. Tobacco, alcohol, drug use, illicit abuse, constant drive to have fun. People say, well, man, I got to just come back home from having fun on the weekend just so I can settle down a little bit, right? That's the average individual. They go out on the weekends and have fun and abuse their bodies, abuse other people's bodies. This is the dead man. Our body is the temple of God. This church, this little office building we're in right now, and the church prayer, Lord willing, we'll be able to meet in here very soon. That's not the temple. This is the temple of God. We know that. Be careful what we do with our bodies. I said this morning, it's amazing that our God would come and live within us, the Holy Spirit. It's our temple. And Paul makes an effort to describe that to the church at Corinth, to be careful what you do with your temple. This man is a pitiful picture of a lost man. We know that. Not all are as bad as this individual. He's a kind of a prime example here of the worst case scenario, but all are unclean in the sight of God. We know that, Romans 3. All have sinned to come short. All have sinned. None are righteous, no, not one. Now, there's the lost man described in Scripture. Let's see the Son of God, how He is. Now, when Jesus comes, a beautiful change occurs. What Jesus does, it's amazing. He has, first of all, power over devils. Verse 6, he saw Jesus, ran and worshiped Him. Now, notice that. He didn't run and scream, get away from me, right? Stop. The movies portray such a shameful way in such a pathetic way. They hold up the cross, you know, oh! And the demons, you know, ah, oh, they scream out. We see he saw Jesus afar off. How did he know who he was? Does that ever fascinate you? How did he know that? How did he know from a distance? I don't know, afar off. I mean, it had to be at least 50 yards or so. Maybe 100 yards, saw him getting off the ship, coming on the sea, you know. Immediately, the lights turned on. That's Jesus. How did he know that? The demons know Jesus. The demons, Satan, they know him. Paul later will say, they know Jesus and they tremble at the presence of Jesus. He has power over devils. They recognize him. They begged him not to torment them. Torment. Jesus has power to cast these demons into a torment. We know that. We covered that on Wednesday, talking about the end times. As you think about, this is the Savior we serve. This is why we ought never to be fearful and scared of those things. You cannot, as a believer, be possessed, but you can be oppressed by the adversary. Our little kids, we need to be very careful with. You already know this, but what they watch and participate in and listen to and adhere to. Why? Because they may not be saved yet. They don't know that. And the adversary wants to work in them and get them not maybe to where they're possessed, but where they will reject Christ. And they'll say, no, I don't want any of that. We need to understand and teach our kids, myself especially, that our Savior, Jesus Christ, makes all the difference. He has power over the demonic things of this world. He's in control still today. And I am so thankful for that. Still, they begged him not to torment. They begged him to let them stay in the country. Why? They don't want to be cast out. They wanted to stay. Let us stay here. Let us keep working. What have I to do with thee? They begged him to let them enter into the swine again. Swine for a Jew was a no-no. They didn't touch it, didn't eat it. We know that. Let him go out. But notice verse 13, they obeyed him. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out. entered into the swine. Now again, they obey him. They obey his voice. Several occasions in the other gospel accounts, we see several people come to Jesus that were demon-possessed, and they obey Jesus. Same thing. What do we have to do? Don't torment us. Jesus said, come out of them. They came out. One young person said it tore the young child. He was writhing in pain and all those things, and finally it came out. We know these things. So again, just talking about, this is the Savior. He makes all the difference. He has power over sin. The man fell at his feet, worshiped him. The man was changed forever. Verse 15, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They see this guy. He was once naked, you know. He was crazy. He was sitting by himself. He had scars all over his body from cutting himself. And he was now sitting in his right mind. Is that Joe Blow there? It's me, guys. He can talk? Oh, yeah. I'm good. Good to go here. What made all the difference, Jesus? You know that's what we do with people, is sharing our testimony. What made all the difference for you, Jesus Christ? Oh, I've heard that before. No, really, what made all the difference? No, Jesus Christ. I came to him and asked him to say, I didn't know what to do. I was at my wit's end. I had no idea where to turn, where to go. I tried everything in this world, drugs, alcohol, illicit relationships, everything else. I didn't know what to do. And Jesus made all the difference. And now you could use this testimony, I guess. I'm clothed and in my right mind. I'm in my right mind, sitting. Notice the peace about this individual, you and I, the overwhelming peace that we have when Jesus comes and abides with us, makes his abode within us. They obeyed him. He had power over sin. The man was changed, sitting before he could not be held down, before he could not be bound with chains. Now he's sitting with peace. What'd you have to do to him, Jesus, to get him to calm down? Did you give him a tranquilizer or something? No. He's sitting. Notice that. He's clothed. Before, he wore no clothes. Again, just a mark of the world is the more you can take off. That's worldly. We see that. Spring break is coming up. Ungodly things are going to go on with college age and high school people. Ungodly. And shame on those parents for letting that go on. Shame on those people. Ungodly. That claim the name of Christ, I'm saying, right? Claim the name of Christ. But that's a mark of the world. Right mind. Before, he was crazy. He was a lunatic. He was nuts. I believe a vast majority of people today that have psychosis, psychotic problems, mental problems, they need Jesus Christ. We know that. The power of Jesus Christ to change them forever and take care of their problems. Now, knowing this, this is the Son of God. He has power over the devils, power over sin. Thirdly, he has power over the world. Verse 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Can you believe that? When they saw what happened to this man, they then asked him, hey, get out of here, please. Not, hey, stay and help us. You healed this crazy lunatic in our country, in our city. That is the world. They see all that Christ does and they yet still reject him. We read in Revelation a few weeks ago, as fire is raining down from God, destroying these people at the end, they're still lifting their fist, cursing God. Cursing Christ, aren't they? That's the world. And don't be surprised when they hate you, Jesus said, and you think you're going to make buddy buddies with everybody. And when the world loves your church and loves your pastor, you got to get out of that church. You're going on Oprah and every other show and they're loving you, patting you on the back. Get out of that church. Because Jesus himself said, if the world loves you, there's a problem. John would later emphasize that. You're an enemy of God if the world loves you. Now, we're nice to everybody and we're kind to people, obviously, but we're not compromising. And you talk trash about Jesus Christ, we're going to have a problem. Yeah. And it's okay to get upset at that, too. Don't be passive aggressive with stuff. They cuss and use his name in vain unless they're a big biker gang at the restaurant. You know, say anything, but it ought to irritate us and bother us. Now, he has power over sin, power over the devil, power over the world. They were afraid of him. The world tonight is afraid of Jesus Christ. They know who he is. They asked him to leave. They don't want to change. They don't want to change. Does it ever bother you, or you wonder why most of the major sporting events are on Sundays and even Wednesdays? And they don't want us in church. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate who he is. He has power over the world. I'll stop there with that. The Son of God, the man, the lost man. Notice thirdly, though, notice the effect or the change, verse 18. When he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Can you imagine and think about this just lastly here? This man had no friends. This man had no family. This man had nobody. And Jesus just made all the difference in his life. And Jesus begins to leave, and the man says, Lord, could I come with you, please? I don't have anybody. I don't have anybody. Can I come with you? The wonderful thing about the local church tonight is that when people get saved out of a situation like this of sin, and they're lost and they're dead in sin, when they get saved, they don't go and have nothing and nobody. They come to the local church, and that's where we ought to come in and open our doors and our arms to them and help them and disciple them and all of that. But the Christian, notice what he says, can I come with you, Lord, please? Can I come with you? Notice verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on them. Can you imagine? He had the greatest testimony, I think, outside of maybe the Apostle Paul, the greatest testimony. Now, can you imagine that night? Who is it, honey? Oh, it's old lunatic there, whatever his name. What do you want, man? I told you to get out of here. Oh, wait, he's got his clothes on, honey. He's got his clothes. He's in his right mind. Hey, can I come in for a minute? You talk? You talk normal. Yeah, I got shaved up and got cleaned up here. He came in and he talked to him. And he told him, what happened to you? Well, Jesus came by. Jesus healed me. He had compassion on thee. Verse 20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, he was nigh unto the sea. Jesus comes back later to this area, and it says people are there waiting. Hey, I want you to do the same thing. That's what the lady, woman of the well did. Remember, she went and told everyone. Everyone in the city came out. And it says Jesus stayed there for several days, preaching and teaching the Samaritans and all of that. Notice, though, lastly here, the Christian or the believer. His desire is to be with Jesus. His desire is to be with him with whom he healed. Can I encourage you to get back a great desire to be with Jesus? You say, I do have a desire to be with Jesus. Well, then show it. Prove it. Spend time with him. Get alone with him. Say, God, I want to be with you. I desire to be with you more than anything else, Lord. And if anything's coming in the way of that, God, show me that. I'm willing to get rid of it. Whether it be job or anything, I'm ready, Lord. Tell me what to do. His desire. Oh, Philippians 1:20, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose, I what not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I want to show you the way. Notice his desire, his commission. His commission. Jesus says, verse 19, go and tell. We know we've been given the Great Commission. Matthew 28, he says what? Go into all the world. Teach them. Baptize them. Teach them. Show them all the things that I showed you and taught you. We have a Great Commission. We know what to do. And then let me say lastly here, his obedience to it. He goes and follows. He goes out and he does all that. It says he publishes a public thing. He went out public to everybody. He was not shy about it. He said Jesus made all the difference. When did this man, and why did he worship Jesus? Because of the difference he made. He fell at his feet as soon as he saw him. When lost people today will come, we reach them with the gospel. We try to. We may not reach everybody. We know that we can't save anybody. We have to let the Holy Spirit do that, but we do our part, do our best. It's hard to do it. It's difficult, but we make that. Why? Because he'll make all the difference. There's an individual tonight in our very city that's struggling in this same area. They're struggling with defiling of their bodies. They don't know where to turn. They've never been spiritual in any kind of way. They're addicted and all these other kind of problems, and they don't know the answer is Jesus Christ. Oh, but Jesus is working. He's at work all the time. May we be found faithful in that. But what a difference He makes. Amen? Hopefully next week we're going to look at these other characters in Mark 5. But what a challenge to each one of us to think about. You were once there, and I was once at that point. I know that. We may not have been in this state, this far gone, but we were there, and we acknowledged Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We said, God, make the difference in my life. Show me what to do. Show me how to go about it. I want to know You, more of You. Amen. I'll stop there tonight. Thank you. And Lord, we do thank You for another time we can gather together tonight. Lord, I thank You for Your grace and goodness to think about. Oh, what a tremendous story to read. It just, You made all the difference in this man. He had nowhere to turn. Lord, he couldn't even end his own life. He was tortured. He was tormented. And God, there's people around us tonight, we know that, in the same state of mind. We ask that You'd help us and strengthen us, direct us to the path of the people You want us to come into contact with, Lord. May we be prayed up and, Lord, prepared and right with You to be able to be used as a vessel for You, Lord. We thank You for Your grace in this wonderful day in Your house. We love You and thank You for making the difference in our lives individually. In Jesus' precious name again, we pray, and amen.